Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Freaks and Geeks. I am your host, April. And before we introduce your favorite cast of characters that join me every single week, we're like a weird family, to bring you the freakiest and the geekiest of topics, let's talk about that Facebook page. Ooh, ooh. We are getting so close to 4,000 likes, so let's keep them coming. We can't wait to... Our major goal right now is to have 5,000 likes by Halloween. And I know that people are probably like, well, who the hell cares how many people like your page or doing this for you? Or like, oh, that's kind of vain or whatever. Eh, it is and it isn't. Basically, if we get to a certain point, at the end of the day, we end up getting more support. So it kind of counts and it's kind of important just because, you know, it's a little vainglorious to have, you know, a show with 5,000 likes. Hell yeah, obviously, I'm going to be super excited and brag the shit out of that. But at the same token, more help, more support, more information. So the more support we get, the better we can make these shows. And, you know, hey, let's keep doing that. So hop on over and give us a like if you haven't already. Share with your friends. Become a part of our growing community. Laugh at our stupid memes. Post memes for yourself. Whatever you want to do, man. We're all in this together. We love hearing from our listeners and getting show ideas from you. So if you have any show ideas, just let us know. You can actually post that right to our Facebook page. We have a place for you to do that within the files section. And if you're not satisfied with just Facebook, you can also check us out on Instagram. We just kind of revamped our Instagram, so by all means, our handle is Freaks and Geeks. And now, about that cast of characters. Tonight, I'm joined, as always, by Carrie.
Hello, hello.
I was about to say, hello, hello. My celestial friend, Stacy.
Hey, everybody.
And kooky-ass Christopher.
Yeah, just been on it, you know. Just been on a trip. I'm going to see some aliens. I want to touch them. Ask them about Betty and Barney Hill. So I can prove you wrong.
That's some bullshit. It's never going
to
happen.
Come visit me while I'm sleeping so I don't have to go work next day.
I hope that when you run into those aliens, they're like, I'm sorry, Betty and Barney who?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what would happen. Not only that, but they would be like, look at this specimen. He's pint-sized. It's fun-sized for us.
Hey, you know, I fit in their pocket.
Yep.
I think it's kind of a record. I think Betty and Barney Hill being announced this early in the show is kind of a record. I'm just
saying.
Next time I'll get April to say it in the intro.
Oh, God. Anyway. So it's a reoccurring theme, even in our show, the exploration of the possibility and probability of extraterrestrial life. We've kind of had a theme going lately, so we got to get off that, especially with October coming, you know, we got to get more of that spooky stuff in there, but...
Spooky skeletons that are dancing in top hats?
Spooky skeletons.
Demogorgon.
Yep. For some, it's an exciting unknown. For others, it's an argued point of debate in intellectual discourse. As we've seen, several companies, academic organizations, and even government agencies have formed around the ideas of identifying extraterrestrial life. And tonight, we'll explore one company in particular, To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, or TSARS. Say it with me, Christopher. TSARS.
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 TSARS. I
try
hope
again.
The aliens get you first.
TSARS.
I like to think of it as like, yeah, you got to do it like you're a pirate, but you're also pirating because you lost your position as a member of the Russian royalty.
Well, it's also kind of like Skarsgård.
Oh, please.
You know?
Yes, please.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't matter.
I think there are a lot of those.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Sounds like a pirate trying to sell t-shirts. T-shirts.
That. For sure, that.
You would, you'd see that at the Blackbeard Festival.
Arr,
yeah.
Just this one. It just covers your nipple.
That it,
it's like an eye patch.
And yep. Yeah, and you'd see that at the Blackbeard Festival, too.
Yeah, you would. Yeah,
I
mean, you definitely
would.
Totally.
Rather fantastically for during the Blackbeard Festival.
Of course you did, babe.
I did. With those tight leather pants that were too tight.
Oh, my God. I remember those.
I don't think April remembers them.
Oh, no, I remember
the Blackbeard.
What?
Wasn't the Blackbeard Festival the encounter with Josh Gates?
Yes,
was for
it
April.
Was. Yeah,
yes, it was.
I mean,
yes,
it makes
was.
Me sad that I wasn't there to experience.
Well, hey, it's one step closer or one step removed that you are, Chris.
Yeah, it was an embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Just staring at him.
Right. I made him uncomfortable. That's how bad it was. Is that I made him uncomfortable.
That's very difficult to do.
It is. And I did it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Thanks. One day I'll get my revenge. I don't know.
I think this we got to make this the best
redemption.
Episode.
Yeah, this redemption.
Is our, this is like our last
redemption.
One probably for a little while talking about Aryans.
Aryans?
Oh.
Aryans.
I don't know. I think they
Aryans.
That at least they will be mentioned in the spirit of Betty and Barney Hill.
Oh, well, I mean, they're all...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to swing it into next week's episode, but I'll figure out a way.
I know you will.
You will.
Yep.
I have no doubt.
Well, there you go. Just things for all of everyone to enjoy. Upcoming events. Founded in 2014 as a media and entertainment company, the existence of T-SARS is owed to an unlikely founder, band Blink-182's very own Tom DeLonge. DeLonge founded the company with the express intent to study unidentified flying... And this was the moment when the dogs figured out how to open up the doors. to study unidentified flying objects or UFOs and other mysteries of the universe.
Hey, so has anybody heard the stuff that Tom DeLonge has been talking about like a mysterious metal that he that
yeah.
they found?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I haven't seen anything like come up. Like they were getting it tested last I heard. I hadn't heard anything about it.
Wait, do tell.
Well, I mean they have a like a piece of metal that they don't think is of earthly nature. And so they're getting
well, where'd
it
they
tested.
Find it?
I don't remember. It's been a little bit since I
So I may be misremembering this. One of the things that I heard is that someone that maybe used to be part of the military or the government gave it to them, but let me just double check that.
So that person then is in hiding right now.
Well, it's kind of like we don't know who this person is. All right, let's see.
Oh, Tom DeLonge, you're such a mystery.
It's
you know
fun
what?
To
I'll
see.
Go ahead and say it. I will go ahead and say it. Least favorite member of Blink 182.
Yeah, agree.
I just find it's interesting to see like a celebrity so deep into like fringe thoughts. Although I mean, you have celebrities that are like, I think the Earth is flat, but I just think
yeah,
they.
But okay,
misinformed
Chris,
and we're doing it for the views.
Chris, you don't think the same way, though, about Scientology, though?
I think Scientology is just fucking stupid.
But that's what I'm saying. You're so... You think it's a... I mean, look at Tom Cruise and John Travolta and all them. I mean, do you have that same feeling?
I think John Travolta has been pretty much blackmailed into the position he is. Like, I think they had dirt on him based off of the auditing sessions that he would do with Scientology that made it so he could never leave or else his whole career would be, like, thrown down the shitter. And I just think Tom Cruise loves... Yeah, and Scientology is notoriously homophobic. And
really?
Tom
that's
Cruise
true?
Just loves the position he... Huh?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You really,
they are very...
You really think John
yeah.
Travolta's gay?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
You think
I mean,
John Travolta's gay?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing as far as why he stuck with Scientology.
Harry's just like, yes.
Yeah. As far as Tom Cruise is concerned, I think Tom Cruise just likes being in the position that he's at. He is literally at the top of it, and everybody praises him as a deity, pretty much. He can do no wrong.
We are going to do a show on Scientology, right?
Oh yeah, yes, we are.
Coming.
It'd probably be more than one show because it's going to be a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
Well,
okay.
I found information about the metamaterials. So got it from an investigative journalist named Linda Moulton Howe. It is reported to have come from an advanced aerospace vehicle of unknown origin. And I heard somewhere before that also Lockheed Martin Skunk Works has had some of this material too.
Why am I thinking Area 51 right now?
Well, I mean, that's where you would assume that they would have these aircrafts that would have these metals.
I swear we talked about this though in the Area 51 episode, something along these lines.
But I mean, Lockheed Martin being involved is not like that wouldn't be surprising in the least. Sitting there like, you know, one of the top manufacturers of flying objects.
Skunk Works is like their, you know, secret black budget kind of section too.
That's also where Skunk Ape is at.
No, I think it's because the guy in charge of it is skunk or something. Let's not even get into the whole Bigfoot is coming from UFOs thing. That's a whole nother discussion.
They're coming from the same dimension as aliens, all the cryptids, psychic.
Jesus,
phenomena.
We're just hitting everything here.
They're all connected.
It's all connected. That picture of that guy pulling his hair.
I'm gonna need a full tinfoil suit for how deep it's gonna go.
Oh Lord.
We're gonna have to start barring the doors so now the dogs can't park in here. No privacy in this house.
Zero privacy.
Oh, that's life. Well, Tom DeLonge is, for all intents and purposes, a man with an apparent interest in the extraterrestrial, supernatural, and mystic. Likely a lifelong interest of his, the world wasn't fully introduced to his interests until 2011 when he launched the website Strange Times. Strange Times was a website dedicated primarily to extraterrestrial life, paranormal activity, cryptozoology, and conspiracy theories as general subject topics. At the website's height, it was used to chronologically track every reported UFO sighting and conspiracy theory-related event. However, at some point, the website was brought under the To the Stars Media Group and has instead become the branding name of a series of graphic novels published by DeLonge. Shades of L. Ron Hubbard.
Right?
It's an unfortunate shift to be certain, though the change in websites and focuses may have some explanation to it. After DeLonge launched TSARS, it appears as though he consolidated all of his extraterrestrial, paranormal, supernatural, and conspiracy theory-related assets under one brand. Using brand recognition associated to previous projects, like Strange Times, DeLonge likely sought to finance his more adventurous venture off the back of his graphic novels and merchandise.
So speaking of conspiracy theories, me and April have been diving into the world of Jesse Ventura and conspiracy theories.
I'm making
him
watch them.
Oh, you guys watching that show?
I'm making him watch them.
Oh, my God.
So, April, it's literally playing in your bedroom every night like you said it would?
Oh, yeah. It's just the kind of aphrodisiac that you just, once you find it, you have to hold on to it with both hands.
It's,
like the Hitachi.
I mean, what?
Like the Hitachi. No, that's only one hand. That's a solitary device.
So, anyway.
For quality time.
So, we watched the HARP episode after, was it last week we did HARP?
Yeah.
So we watched the HARP episode after that, and I don't know how Jesse Ventura has fallen from grace so hard.
I mean, you also have to remember that the show was done really long ago, but honestly, I think it's pretty fucking fantastic.
And
like,
every
it's,
time,
it's terrible.
Every
it's
time
fantastic.
Alex Jones shows up, she's like, hey, it's your boy. Hey, it's your
it's
buddy.
Your boy. It's your boy, Chris.
I can't even with that man.
And not only that, but then we watched the Bilderbergs.
Oh my, yeah, the Bilderbergs.
Oh, okay.
Really funny. Oh my God. So we have, like, there's three seasons of it. And here's a conspiracy. Amazon won't let you even buy, like, the either the second season or something like that.
I think it was the second one.
It won't. They won't even let you buy it.
Yeah, it's there. You just can't watch it.
You can't watch it. Conspiracy.
Well, so you know, there's. I saw one on Netflix when I was. So I just finished watching just tonight, like 2 minutes ago. I just finished watching season one of Stranger Things, and oh my God, is that good?
Where have you been, woman?
I know. I don't ask. Okay, my life is fucking crazy.
Been to the stars.
Yeah.
I'm too busy sitting outside smoking, watching my Red Giant. No, but there's a show on there called The Family. Have you guys seen that? It's supposed to be about some ultra.
It's not a mob movie.
No,
I don't want to know about it.
No, it's not. It's like supposed to be about some ultra right wing like Christian group that's supposedly.
Yeah. Yep.
Puppeteering
everything,
know, our government. Yeah, yep. Basically, yes. I saw not a preview, but you know how like when it comes up, like it'll show you something that you may be interested in. It starts to play like, you know, a little snippet of it. So I was looking at that and I'm like, ooh, I think that's the next thing I'm gonna have to watch because
yeah.
That was really good. Talk about conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just can't go to bed unless I have Jesse Ventura yelling at a random man for doing his job.
Well, he doesn't like being told no.
When I don't, when I get told no, I get really upset.
Nobody likes being told no.
Just a strange man.
He's a big strange man with droopy nipples.
What?
So do you guys know anything about these graphic novels? So
which
I am not familiar.
Novel?
So
which
DeLong.
Graphic? Okay. Mm-hmm.
DeLong.
Oh, okay. I went to blow my nose. My bad. Those other...
You weren't in the room.
I missed it.
No, I haven't read them. It looks like there's one graphic novel and then one like YA novel.
Yes, unfortunately, I have not read them either. I know that.
I definitely would like to.
We're gonna have to find them and now acquire them for our library.
374 used on BarnesandNoble.com.
Oh wow! Okay,
$3.74. All right, I can swing that.
No, I thought you meant 300.
Oh yeah, no. $3.74.
Okay, well that's done.
I'm glad
deal,
I
then.
Was right because I was just kind of I was just guessing.
All right. Well,
be
unfortunately,
$374.
Well, yeah. I mean, based on the kind of things we're going to talk about tonight, maybe it should be $374 if we want to make
the
money. Well, so unfortunately for DeLong, despite his apparent best efforts, this whole T-SARS gig didn't look like it was going to be a long-lived venture on his part. In October 2018, the report started hitting the wild world of media that DeLong's newest and boldest project was more than $37 million in the red. So, yeah, maybe $374 for a book might be helpful. According to the Securities Exchange Commission, or the SEC, the company's debt was so bad that the factors raised out about the company's ability to continue after T-SARS released their biannual report. So now the cause of the company's debt thus far appears fairly straightforward. It just simply couldn't generate any revenue. But this is a damning thing for any company, which reportedly employed the likes of former government officials with big name affiliations, three-letter agencies like CIA and NSA. So DeLong's group attempted to preemptively rectify its endangered financial situation in 2017 when it began selling $50 million worth of stock. Now, despite T-Star's claims of having more than 2,500 investors, they've only managed to sell $1 million worth of stock to date.
Interesting. So, I didn't realize it was a publicly traded company.
We should buy it. We should buy stock.
I will wait until the economy goes into recession, then you buy the stock.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to buy stock in T-SARS. I would definitely buy stock in weed before I buy stock in T-SARS.
Babe, we're buying stock in gold.
Absolutely. Could you get out of my vagina?
Well, that's... Alrighty then. After racking up its $37+ million debt, revealed by its last SEC filing, as we have discussed, T-SARS was shown to only have roughly $129,000 in liquid assets. The company claims an intent to operate through at least 2019 by selling additional stocks, though given how fruitless its last round of sales was, it's unlikely they'll generate the revenue they actually need to operate. Now, despite SEC reports and financial group skepticism, DeLong has denied that T-SARS is $37 million in debt. In an Instagram post, DeLong fired back at the SEC report, saying that T-SARS had, quote, raised over $1 million in outside funding by October 2018, after a year of fundraising. DeLong further went on to explain that the, quote, approximate $37 million stockholders deficit is not debt, as journalists reporting T-Star's debt characterized it, but is attributable to stock-based compensation expenses. Still, regardless of DeLong's counter-arguments meant to ease the people's fears and maintain public face for T-SARS, the massive deficit and poor stock sales indicate the company is hardly doing anywhere near as well as Mr. DeLong would like people to believe. He's a businessman. So, I mean, you know, you gotta spend money to make money, babe. And that's what we've learned from this.
Money to make money or $37 million in debt. The math is just not adding.
Nobody
here
said how much money you had to spend.
Okay.
Just keep spending it until you start making it.
Jesus.
That's the way to run a business.
This is a hot fucking mess.
I mean,
I don't even know, like, why this would be a publicly traded company. That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around.
That was my wonder. Like, why? Like, this seems like a company that would be funded on, like, grants and stuff like that, not something that would...
Right. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
let me throw some knowledge at you. See, when a company is not doing so good and wants to consolidate debt and, try to rehab themselves after they've incurred a lot of debt, they become a publicly traded company to try to raise some funds.
I mean, yeah, I guess in a way that makes sense. Although, I mean, Blink-182 must have all the money.
I actually think that that's a benefit more than a con, because think about it. So we already have all of these private organizations that are, in theory, in pursuit of the same thing. Why would it be so wrong for us to have an actual publicly traded company that is, does have some accountability that has been paid for by the public? I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
I just don't feel that there's the interest in the company.
Well, there sure isn't.
Thank you.
It doesn't help that it's being led by a, an aged rock star that for all intents and purposes, no real qualifications to do this. However, I will say that looking at To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, their higher level leadership, like looking at who they have on their roster, I was nothing short of impressed. They have some extremely knowledgeable people that we actually, like, people that I know,
know of.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know of their professional qualifications. Like, I've heard of them before in the community, and I've never heard anything disparaging about any of them. And to look at that roster, to me, it gives it more legitimacy, because those people had options. You know, they could have signed on with anyone. It's just like Mad Dog Mattis signing on with Mantech. He could have signed on with anybody and done great. But he chose to put his name behind Mantech. So some of those people chose to put their names and their reputations on the line to stand behind To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. So
I just wonder if it then it comes down to normal everyday citizen who has no knowledge of like intel community or anything like that, if they just look at the individuals that are the higher up individuals and just see them as suits.
Well, I mean, it gives a description.
Here's the thing that I'm kind of hung up on with this. If these are such well-credentialed people there at the top of this company, right? And obviously there are people within the scientific community that would respect that. There are people within academia. There's people within government. There's people within companies that would respect that, that actually have the money to buy the stock. Then why does stock do so poorly? Because if it is that well-credentialed at the top, you would think that there would be some sort of outside investment from some group, someplace, some person, somewhere. I mean, Jesus, look at some of the shit that some of these people invest their money in.
Well, until this moment, until you came on the show, until you started with us, did you know what T-SARS was?
No, I didn't.
I think that they've done an absolutely terrible job of
marketing,
public awareness, and, you know, putting themselves out in public. I think that that's the problem, is that nobody knows who the fuck they are and what they're doing. You know, I think that they probably could stand to be a little bit more transparent in what they're doing, not only what they're doing, but what future projects they have and where they stand to go.
Yep.
So you think marketing is the whole issue?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you walk up to a guy on the street right now and you ask him, hey, have you ever heard of To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences? He's going to be like, no. Normal people don't know what that is. Huh?
No, and honestly, it sounds like something that you would find on Hollywood Boulevard, you know.
like an acting college?
Yeah.
Well, or it sounds like a
like something affiliated
group
with the Kennedy
for
Center.
Inner city youth.
Yeah.
I would not get the impression
that it's like a publicly funded, a publicly traded company if you tell me just the name of it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. No way.
I definitely think it goes back to that where like it just nobody knows about it. But, you know, maybe our voice be what helps get them over the hump.
It'll be Freaks and Geeks that brings them into the black.
Yeah, with our 4,000 followers.
Hey.
So, here's my take.
Oh my God. Yes.
I agree. There isn't enough information out there about it because Tom DeLonge hasn't been in Blink 182 in almost 5 years. They've put out 2 albums without him. I don't know how I feel about your aging rock star comment because he's only like 8 years older than us.
Wait a second. I'm like 8 years older than you.
I think that there must be some concern about funding because he's brought back one of his other bands, Angels and Airwaves. So maybe he's trying to get some funds going that way. But on the other side, I've also seen where they've gotten like some government funding and contracts, so
maybe they just need to do a collabo.
A collabo with who?
I don't know, MUFON.
Oh my god.
Somebody.
Well, after my section I'm gonna research the contracts that they've gotten on the GSA. So I'm gonna tell you exactly what they're doing. But
Live research.
Well, regardless of the concerns and or fears of eventual company shutdown due to a lack of funding, T-SARS has managed to keep itself at least relevant in the eyes of extraterrestrial fans across the globe. Fucking Chris. In December 2017, T-SARS released 2 of 3 videos they claimed to be officially declassified by the U.S. government. And those videos were what? Apparent UFO sightings, which were documented and a part of secret UFO research program known as the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, AATIP, like AA Ron.
AATIP. You better be sick or dead.
Just a tip.
Furthermore, A statement from T-SARS certainly complicates matters to naysayers, at least from the get-go. Testimony from one of the Academy's team members, Mr. Luis Elizondo, affirmed the videos were legitimate. The exact statement from the Academy is as follows. Luis Elizondo is a career intelligence officer whose experience includes working with the U.S. Army, Department of Defense, which is the Army is a part of the Department of Defense.
That's just getting into the weeds, babe.
The National Counterintelligence Executive and Director of National Intelligence. As a former special agent in charge.
Wait, he was a DNI?
Yeah, he's a DNI.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think it says that it's Department of Defense because he was a part of DIA, too, I think.
Yeah, but why didn't he just say DIA?
Sounds a lot.
I don't know. Zach, why didn't you just say DIA?
Well, no, this is the actual statement. Like, this is in quotes. This is the actual statement. As a former special agent in charge, which must have been under the counterintelligence executive, if at all, Luis conducted and supervised highly sensitive espionage and terrorism investigations around the world. As an intelligence case officer, so yeah, DIA, he ran clandestine source operations through Latin America and the Middle East. Most recently, Luis managed the security for certain sensitive portfolios of the U.S. government as the director of National Program Special Management Staff. For nearly the last decade, Luis also ran a sensitive aerospace threat identification program focusing on unidentified aerial technologies. Luis's academic background includes microbiology, immunology, and parasitology, with research experience in tropical diseases. When did he have time to do that?
I mean, he's just a man about town.
When exactly did he have time to do that? Anyway. With research experience in tropical diseases, Luis is also an inventor who holds several patents.
Mr. Luis Elizondo's actions greatly reflect upon himself and the Department of Defense and the U.S. Army. It reads like
right?
It really reads like an awards package.
It really does.
It says award write-up for his meritorious service
exactly
medal.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So I have to say that this is one of the people that I was talking about. This is one of the people whose names I know.
Well, I mean, if he was the DNI, then anybody in the intelligence...
He wasn't the DNI. He worked at DNI.
Oh, well, then they shouldn't put and the Director of National Intelligence.
Well, DNI is a position... It's like...
That's an individual.
Yeah, but it's also a division.
Yeah, it's also an office.
I mean, technically the most correct would be ONI, which is Office of Intelligence,
yeah.
But DNI is not wrong, too.
Huh. I guess it just makes it sound cooler.
Yeah.
But, I mean, given that he obviously has some chutzpah, some clout, if you will, to know what he's talking about. If he is researching stuff in an intelligence field, I guess, would be like gathering intelligence and stuff like that on whatever it is that he's putting his effort towards. So,
yeah.
Is most of the people that are high up like this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, more so, I would say. I think that this guy's credentials are probably one of the least
wow.
important of all of them. Yeah, I mean, they have some really intense...
Like nuclear physicists and...
Oh, God,
astrobiologists.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Here, I'll tell you, actually. Because I think this is important.
I mean, that's some... Maybe that's why they're in the red. They got to pay these people buku dollars.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, these people are the kind of people that you pay just to keep them on the roll.
Hey, we just want to use your name.
Well, and we've talked about this guy before, I swear. I can't remember whether it was the Area 51 episode or whether it was, God, I'm trying to think.
What's the episode we did before HARP? Was SETI?
Yeah,
SETI.
I don't think we talked about him during SETI, though.
Mm. He does seem to have influence.
Sort of. I'm looking at our list to see.
Kay, what do you think? What do you think about this man? As somebody who isn't in the intelligence and or Department of Defense.
Well, I mean, he sounds pretty legit. They've got 12 different people from a lot of different walks of life on the border to the stars.
Yeah, that's what I'm just
looking
at right now.
But they also only have 10 regular employees.
I wonder what they do.
Well, I'm just...
Okay. Allow me to explain how it works in a startup. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And let me tell you. So for instance, if I'm just picking this out of the air, you know, just making things up as I go here, but, you know, hypothetically, of course, if I was to start my own intelligence company, business,
firm,
my own personal private business, then I would have maybe 2 employees to begin with. And then I would have other people, and those other people I would keep on my role as consultants. And I would do that for a number of reasons, not the least of which is because once I get to a certain number of people, I have to start offering benefits like dental and medical, and I have to worry about OSHA, and I have to worry about like federal labor laws and all these things. But while I keep it small, I don't have any of those regulations to worry about. And I believe that the first hurdle is at like 30. So just because they have 10 regular employees, that doesn't mean that they don't have hundreds of quote unquote consultants that do work for them.
Contractor.
Well, that would be the that'd be where the $37 million in debt would come from too.
Yeah. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything. That's not like a,
an idea.
Right. That's not like a evidence of any, you know, shadiness necessarily. That's just a start.
No, but it makes sense.
No.
It makes sense.
I don't mean any shadiness, just so I was looking at an SEC filing from earlier this year, and this probably explains what they're doing because they're not bringing in any money. So out of that 10, 8 are working on entertainment projects. So he loaned the company thousands of dollars to keep it operational. They still owe him $300,000 in royalties for licensing his name, image, and music. 95% of the company's revenues come from online merchandise, from books, his music, you know, like t-shirts and stuff. And according to the SEC filing, the company is going to spend most of this year promoting his band, Angels and Airwaves, which I mentioned was coming back. And they say they expect it will bring high brand visibility and increase product sales. DeLong's music accounts for 55% of the revenue for To the Stars, and an additional 45% come from their books and swag that they sell on the website. So 100% of the revenue is coming from music and swag.
Swag.
So marketing. Again, marketing.
100% of their money.
Well, that's kind of what
Of their revenue.
What exactly is their product?
What is their product?
I don't know.
What are they selling to make revenue?
I mean, if you look at it, you know, like Freaks and Geeks is Freaks and Geeks revenue is 100% paid for by me.
That's not revenue.
I mean, it is though.
Would that no
you
revenue?
Know, it's
is
the same concept. So he has this pet project that he wants to do. So he has all these other people, and he's like, okay, well, we're going to do this fucking shit. And they're like, okay, cool. Let's do this fucking shit. And then he creates this company or this, you know, brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he funds it himself.
But it's you can't qualify it as revenue. It's a deficit.
Well, yeah, it fucking is.
But I mean, like, but think of it this way. Think of it this way. If you want to look at the podcast as a business, what our product is
it is a business.
It's entertainment.
Yes. just like apparently Tom DeLonge.
That's what we're doing here.
To the Stars Academy. What is it that they are giving people that they would receive money for from those people?
Well, what are we giving people?
A good time. Entertainment.
Entertainment. Here we are. And that's exactly what he's giving people. He's giving people the same exact thing.
But is he really?
If all of his revenue is coming from angels and the airwaves.
But I don't think that's what it's supposed to be from.
It's not what it's supposed
exactly.
to be from.
Like the company itself minus the band. Excuse me.
Maybe he'll fund our podcast.
The company itself doesn't seem to have a product that people can purchase. It's just research, which
right.
is, again, why it's weird that it would be a publicly traded company with no actual product that it's offering.
Well, I will tell you,
maybe.
It's funny, when you go to their site on your phone, the Invest Now button stays with you the
like
whole time, no matter what you look at.
Well, it kind of is. It's only been around since, 2017?
And startup businesses are going to, like, they're not just going to hit the ground running.
Right, for sure.
But, like I said, I don't see what the product is that that would be generating money.
Well,
it kind of almost seems like he's trying to generate interest so that he can get so they can get government contracts to do this research.
Agree. Also, let's think about it in terms of, do you or do you not agree that ideas are a commodity?
Ideas are intellectual property.
Right. That is a commodity that can be bought and shared.
Yep.
Just like Skunkworks, right? So Lockheed Martin Skunkworks gets ideas, and then they sell those ideas, and that's what gives them the contract in order for them to manufacture the idea, right?
I would call it more of a concept, but okay.
Okay, so at this point, perhaps where T-Stars is in the conceptual phase, where they have this concept that they are trying to peddle, but they aren't peddling it to the public. It's not for us. It's not like I'm going to purchase part of a rocket ship at this point in my life. I'm just not in bed with that right now.
He needs to get in bed with SpaceX.
He needs to get in bed with Elon Musk. I don't know, though.
Well, okay, wait a second.
Both of their egos might just choke out
of
the air.
That is what I was going to say. It's hard for big personality people to work together.
Here's the thing. I can understand, ideas as a commodity, and that's what you can sell. And, with Skunkworks, it works because they've already been selling something. I mean, it just doesn't seem like you come off the jump with, I'm going to sell ideas. You have to be producing something to get to that
contracting.
Point where people.
that's what contracting is. It's exactly that works.
But I mean, this is just such a, I don't know.
It seems to be an interesting situation.
It is.
For sure.
It is not uncommon at all, especially with government contracts. And I say that because that's where I have the breadth of my experience. But especially with government contracts, it's not uncommon at all to have to build the plane while you're flying it. If that makes any sense.
You tell them what you're going to do, and then you get the contract, and now, guess what? Now you have to do it.
Now you are literally building the plane while you're also flying it, because
you are
executing that contract, and you're also building, and you have to execute those two things at the same time. So bid on a particular need for the government, then at that point, the only thing you have is intellectual property, like, hey, this is what we can do for you.
But with something like this, I would think that, just an example, I'm going to accept or want to take the bid of a company who has actually produced something before I'm going to take the bid of a company or, want to get in bed with a company that has never produced anything but ideas. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean,
quite
they
frankly,
seem to be in a niche market, and I don't know if there'd be much competition to them if they were, if this is in fact what it is that they're looking at to generate revenue.
And quite frankly, the government doesn't really care about that. What they care about is the lowest cost point.
They're not supposed to, that they're supposed to be going away from that.
Right. So while we're on that topic, Tom DeLong, if you are listening, or Luis Elizondo or whoever, while we're on that topic, if you need any support from the open source side, I got my resume. Just hit me up on LinkedIn. We can work this out. Just a shameless plug. God.
There you go. That's
I will stalk whoever you need
stalked. I will stalk everyone for you. Anyway.
I guess we should probably continue, huh?
Yeah.
We'll go on
all
evening.
That was a good conversation, though. That was a good conversation.
Business. Did we lose Carrie?
Nope.
She
gone.
Oh, okay.
She gone.
The aliens got me.
Oh, God. How was it?
You know. Wasn't the worst.
Typical probing.
Some might be inclined to raise questions and concerns of the validity of the previous statement, talking about Luis Elizondo. After all, would the United States government allow a former case officer involved in highly classified programs to run about divulging national secrets without consequences? Well, probably not. But reality can be a fickle thing.
What?
You have something to add, Ben?
It happens all the fucking time. What are you talking about?
Oh, I know.
Usually they take them to talk to, like, they get in trouble, though.
Right. Well, I mean, this man has definitely signed a non-disclosure agreement as well. You sign a non-disclosure agreement whenever you get your clearance. Like, whenever you sign in or out of a new command, you have an NDA. Like, automatically, off the bat.
Yeah.
This man has probably signed 30 or 40 NDAs in his lifetime, and that's a conservative estimate. So the fact that he is, quote-unquote, possibly giving away highly classified information, not only is that probably abjectly false, but also there's
the information he's probably giving out has been declassified, I would assume.
Either declassified or is open source, or it was something that was not right.
Or it's so whacked out they don't think anybody will believe him anyways.
I mean, it could be that too.
You MK Ultra, babe.
MK Ultra. I like that. It's smoother than most beers.
Well, in 2017, the Pentagon confirmed the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program had, in fact, existed. Furthermore, it was confirmed that Mr. Elizondo was head of the program in question. From previous segments on this show, we've learned that the United States government has divulged funds and time alike to the research of extraterrestrial life. So it only stands to reason that they'd have an interest in UFOs, right?
They still have an interest in UFOs. They just don't want you to know about it.
Well, of course they do. Well, what do you think they're going to do? Just leave our planet to just, you know, like, to be completely defenseless just in case? Absolutely not.
We have a giant laser that's in the Midwest, probably.
They got that AA tip.
Yeah, that's the name of the weapon. AA tip.
AA tip.
All right, so now that we all have our tinfoil hats on, even you, April, let's discuss, before we get into this conspiracy stuff, let's refresh our memories real quick and go down that rabbit hole that is AA tip, because, like I said, I believe we covered a lot of this stuff in a previous episode. So the AA tip was a secret program run by the government, U.S. government, and it was made public in December 2017. It was created or initiated, you could say, by Nevada Senator Harry Reid to study unexplained aerial phenomenon, reportedly because his friend Robert Bigelow urged him to do so. Now, you guys, that name should sound familiar to him, to you guys, Robert Bigelow. He was or is a UFO enthusiast, and he made his money in hotels, and he is the founder of Bigelow Aerospace, which makes expendable space station modules. So
wait,
the AA tip began. Yeah.
Isn't that?
Yes, he's on conspiracy theory with.
No. That guy used to
Skinwalker.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, that's
Skinwalker
what we watched.
Ranch.
That
that's it.
We watched that episode of conspiracy theory. That's where you know
Fuck,
it.
I was
wondering
what
the actual geographic location
was.
Not the show.
Oh.
Yeah, shit.
Yes.
Bigelow Air Space, Skinwalker Ranch.
See, there we go. It's all connected. See, I knew we talked about this shit. AA tidbit.
And here's a tidbit that we learned from conspiracy theories that actually turns out to be correct, by the way. So the FAA, if there is a UFO that is called in near Skinwalker Ranch in Nevada, then the FAA actually calls Bigelow Aerospace.
I didn't think it was just near Skinwalker Ranch. I thought it was anywhere.
Oh, maybe. But there's official documents where the government, their course of action is to call Bigelow Aerospace.
It was back then. I don't know if it still is, but it at one point was.
Mm.
Well, that's the conspiracy.
That's the mystery.
That's what fuels the conspiracy. Like, what is it that the government is doing with this privately owned organization that has to do with UFOs?
Well, like, and I think Bigelow has connections to SpaceX as well.
Bigelow has connections to everything.
Everything?
Everything.
He has terrible hair.
Is he still alive?
And I mean, he's 74. Actually, earlier this year, he was on 60 Minutes and straight up said aliens are real. They are here among us.
He also said that aliens killed some people on the Skinwalker Ranch.
Well,
Robert Bigelow, male gigolo.
Was saying that people were killed trying to investigate aliens. There was no, he didn't specifically say they were killed by aliens.
Well, that was
so
his open-endedness.
Said, yeah, it was very
open-ended. But we can assume he's hiding something. Mm. The aliens attacked us. They started war. It's war. Get your
breathe,
guns.
Chris, breathe.
I just, okay. So I need y'all to just take a look at Mr. Bigelow because he looks like, he looks like if Walt Disney's ghost and Norm MacDonald's impression of Burt Reynolds had a child.
It's jarring.
Oh my God, he totally
so
does.
So are you saying that he wouldn't be a male gigolo?
I'm saying I don't know that he could be anything but that.
He's a bit...
So I'm looking at this.
He looks like he has a very, you know, a very classy man.
I'm looking at this training manual from the FAA, and it's dated the latest date is 2011. So I'm not sure if it still is or not, but this is a TM that I just found on their webpage.
Slide
in
MTMs, babe.
It still is.
Well, you know, Bigelow Aerospace claiming the UFOs.
All right.
Yeah,
so
he's fun.
All right, so back to it. So this, we were talking about AA tip, and that started in 2007 and had gotten about $22 million over 5 years until it was reportedly terminated in 2012. However, this Luis Elizondo is saying he didn't resign until 2017. So even though the Department of Defense stated the program was terminated in 2012, the exact status of the program is unknown. So,
conspiracy. They don't want you to know about it. 5 years. He's investigating the aliens. The aliens.
The aliens.
What do you think, babe? Legit?
I was looking at Robert Bigelow.
Will you get off of Robert Bigelow?
No, I'm trying to get on him.
We're gonna be going to bed tonight, and I'll just hear April in the midst of her snoring. Rah. Robert Bigelow.
I mean.
Whatever works.
He's a special kind of man.
I am a special kind of man.
He is a special kind of man.
I'm special.
You sure are, buddy.
Yes. Yes, you are, Chris. In like a window licker sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the schnozberries taste like schnozberries. No?
Okay.
Okay.
Say your thing.
No.
So, to the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, a.k.a. TESARS, presents to us a whole new interesting aspect of conspiracy theory and UFO research. as we have discussed in detail. Whether they're entirely valid in their claims or not up to personal or not is up to personal opinion. But even our skeptic of a writer, Mr. Zach, finds a few things associated to the Academy's claims of UFO sightings and government programs compelling reasons. After all, when the Pentagon effectually confirms TSAR's statements regarding government programs, it's hard to simply hand wave them as if they're just another conspiracy group. Unfortunately, though, its funding issues can't be resolved. We may never be able to see just how effective of a research and investigative organization they really are. I'll be sad to see TSARers go away.
I mean, maybe if we invest in them, then they'll hire me.
How much are you going to invest? $5?
Well, it says the minimum is $3.50.
$3.50?
I don't think it's supposed to work that way. I don't think it's supposed to work that way, April.
Well,
I give you $350, you hire me.
You gotta spend money to make money.
Yes. See?
Oh, yeah. I heard that somewhere.
I mean, it all goes back to what it is that they are providing.
Right.
I mean, my hope would be that this organization is finding, like, if the metal that they have in their possession is actually of unearthly origin, then I bet that would shoot their revenue right up.
But I don't think that they're the only group with some of this metal.
Metal.
They're the only one that's trying to develop a spider suit based on it.
What do you mean spider suit?
Oh my god, please.
Spider-Man suit.
Can I wear it?
Iron Man? No.
I mean, it would fit you. You're the size of a teenage boy.
Yeah, it is.
I am the size of a teenage boy. Actually, I just got approached by the FBI to go undercover to be a high school student.
There you go.
Break up a criminal drug ring in high school.
Wait, isn't that 21 Jump Street or some shit like that?
Yeah, the plot of the movie.
Damn it. I've never seen 21 Jump Street, so...
Wasn't there actually somebody
really
undercover at our high school, April?
No, that was just a pedophile.
What?
Wasn't there somebody undercover at our high school?
The fuck are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
Was it an alien?
This is brand new information to me.
You guys had somebody undercover at your high school?
Bruh.
Your high school had like five people. Why do you need an undercover person?
You want to tell that story? Because I don't know anything about it.
Legit, I'm pretty sure you're
graduating tried class, hanging
like 10 people?
134, thank you. Wasn't there this girl, maybe in our 10th grade year, maybe 9th grade, because Sean was there, that was trying to hang out with us, but she legit looks like she was 35 and not just like the other 15-year-old country girls that look like they're 35.
Well,
and
then
undercover.
Later
here.
We found out that she was undercover.
What?
This is legit insane.
It's amazing.
She had glasses and real jacked up teeth. That's all I can remember about her. And she had brown hair and like a
Poor
long
thing.
Ponytail.
You have a yearbook? Maybe she's in there.
Oh, I don't have the yearbook from 9th grade.
Because she took it, so that way you couldn't identify her later, because she really was an undercover
April
FBI
looks like
agent.
She's having a stroke trying to remember back that far. Thanks, Carrie. Now the rest of the evening,
oh,
she's going to be
her.
Like...
What? She broke.
Staring at the wall, trying to figure it out.
What?
I feel like this isn't even the first episode where I've broken her either.
I have never heard that.
Now you have?
No. Okay, wait. Let's digest this. Let's just digest this because my mind is fucking blown. First of all, why would they have an undercover officer in our high school? First, like what Chris said is spot on. Like, we don't even have that many people. Why would they put an undercover? They don't even have that many people in the police office.
Why did the principal tell the preppy kids to be nice to the weird kids after Columbine happened?
Oh my God. They did that because they thought we were going to shoot up the school?
Yeah.
Oh shit. April, they had a target on you.
What?
Oh, really? They did that to you?
Oh, well, to our group.
Nobody came to us. Although I wasn't
in
the weird
college.
Kid group.
I was in college when Columbine happened. Nobody cared.
You're also slightly behind us, Chris. No, by a little bit.
She's the only one I remember with the long brown ponytail that had, like, messed up teeth.
No, it wasn't her.
Sorry, Sandy Faith, if you're listening. I hope you got
it. Oh, my God. The hate mail is coming.
Oh, man. You can't name drop like that, man.
My bad.
Yeah, you seriously can't.
Sorry, Sandy.
Jesus Christ.
You were a lovely person. I'm sorry.
Fuck, that's harsh.
Well,
there,
God,
goes the 4,000 likes. There goes the 4,000 likes right out the window.
Yes, I was.
Brutally honest.
Yeah, I was. Absolutely.
No filter.
I mean, no filter. No.
Jesus Christ, April.
Wow. Wow.
I bet she's a lovely person. Who would invest in T-SARS?
What? Yeah, she probably would. She probably would if she had a computer.
I mean, that's all that's what you need to make it in this day and age.
I'm not sure she does have a computer.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So okay,
I think we should
take
bets on whether or not T-SARS is actually going to be a company.
I'm going to invest in them, so I hope so. God knows. Also, Bigelow Aerospace, if you're listening, you know, college a girl.
She's trying to pimp herself out online.
Yeah.
He looks like someone that I've met before, but I don't know who.
Robert Bigelow, male gigolo?
I might have met the Robert Bigelow.
Yeah, probably on the street.
Probably.
You like what you see, young lady? I can take you to the stars.
Oh, I would fall for that. I would absolutely fall for that. Candy dropper.
Yes, you would.
Just candy making all the ladies wet. Moist.
No, not all of them.
Do not say moist.
Dewy? Is dewy a better adjective?
Dewy.
Oh, God. Dewy.
Like the Sahara.
Dewy, gooey.
I mean, yeah, but that's normal.
Well.
What, like the Sahara is normal?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anybody got any final thoughts about T-SARS before I go up this motherfucking undercover officer in my yearbook?
You know what? I think this is just a pet project gone bad. I really do. And I feel bad for the guy because all he wants to do is, you know, invest in something that he likes. He's got, you know, all this money. It's just another case of somebody having way too much money and time on their hands. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, yeah. I hate to say he has too much money and time because he's doing something that is effectively trying to better the human race.
Yeah, like, I don't know about that.
If you say like he's got too much money and time, that makes it that makes it sound like he's just like wasting it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I don't feel like he's wasting it. I just feel like it's not gotten the attention, probably, because nobody knows about it. Not enough people know about it. And, like, B, it needs a push. It needs interest. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, sure. Undercover lady.
Promoting it.
Undercover brother.
Promoting it. We're here.
Yeah, we're here to promote.
All right, everyone. Well, this is this week's episode. Please be sure to go out to our Facebook page where we'll post up some articles related to what you heard tonight and maybe a new poll. Stacey,
don't go over there. Hold on. You don't want to go over there. There's spiders.
All
what
right.
The fuck was that?
What the fuck was that?
got some spiders in your house?
Always.
Don't go over there. There's spiders. I wouldn't go over there either.
Yeah.
Everyone okay? Did anyone get bit by the spiders?
Hey, you didn't want to come in the house because there was a bee.
It was. It came after me. Personally.
Did it have a cigarette and a knife? It's from the wrong side of the track.
No, but those fucking wasps are big enough for that.
You want to get in this house? You got to get through me.
Charlotte the spider and Carlito the wasp.
The wasps here are like as big as small birds.
Yeah, they are pretty fucking big.
They are big as shit.
Who wants to come visit?
Oh, God.
I mean, me. I want some of that Texas.
Before we turn off?
Hey, I want some of that crisp Texas Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, fuck yeah. We got Big Red around here.
I just want to come down there and see the stars.
Yeah, that's a good
thing. I want to see the sky at night.
Sitting on the back porch is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and for some reason our dog is scared of the wind. But next week, you ladies get a week off.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
You're going to talk about World of Warcraft.
Yep. I'm bringing some of my friends on, and we are going to have a nice discussion on what is World of Warcraft and how it almost destroyed my entire livelihood.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely need you to do that. And listen, ladies, if you're listening, listen up. I need you to put on your waders for next week because it's going to be a gushy. There's going to be so much just hot masculine energy afoot. It's not going to smell like corn chips, Mountain Dew / Surge and Shame. It's not going to have that to it at all. It's going to be a nice. It's going to be fucking.
It's going to be like a nice.
It's going to be
I can already feel the legs of my JNCOs rubbing against my knees right now. Just thinking about this episode.
I did discuss it with my two guests that are coming on for the next week's episode. And if it goes well, we might look to do our own little podcast.
I think you should. So,
You're
hilarious.
We'll see how it goes.
I'll have
but
to
it
beat
should be.
The women off of you, though.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But it should be a good time. This is a subject that we have about, 15 years experience with.
Before you listen to next episode, if either you're a lady or you're not a lady, it doesn't matter. Go ahead and grab some snacks. Go ahead and grab some drinks. It's going to be a long haul, so be prepared to sit down for the entirety of the 2 hours.
Well, we will do what we can to make it interesting. We are nothing if not entertaining.
For sure. All right. Well, we'll see everyone next week. Bye.
All right. Stay freaky, stay geeky.